All right, so if you didn't pick up on it yet, so today is the time that we're celebrating Grace Chapel's 20th birthday. So October 9th, 1994, we had our very first service at Hillsborough School, and I don't know, there's a huge degree or discrepancy in how many people were there, but it was somewhere between 18 and 20. It was a large gathering, and but anyway, so knowing that we were coming up on this weekend this year, I earlier in the year thought, you know, we need to do something awesome for our 20th anniversary, and, you know, maybe we'll do a conference the whole weekend and bring in a bunch of speakers and singers and just blow it out and have a great time and celebrate and be blessed and all that stuff. So the year kind of progressed, and, you know, I just never kind of got to it and thought, well, you know, Steve, you got to kind of like start calling people and you got to put this together, and I just never had peace about it. And then as the year kind of progressed, then we got to just a few months ago, and instead of doing something that was just kind of inward, and it's okay to do some of that sometimes, there's nothing wrong with that, but instead of doing something that was just inward, it became obvious to us that we needed to have bigger vision. And so that was a huge part of the Sacred Assembly last Sunday, was Grace Chapel's kind of 20th anniversary outreach, invitation to everybody. And so, you know, if you missed it last week, you missed it for sure. There was well over 4,000 people there. And listen, 4,000 people for over 2 hours. I never saw anybody leave. I mean, thousands of people there praying, crying out to God for the church, for the nation, for the world, worshiping, praying, crying. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. So with that being said, all of the work and all the effort that went into that, that was kind of our thing that we spent our time on. So today is kind of, we're just going to talk about 20 years, but I don't have a bunch of video stuff that we spent hours on. I don't have a bunch of famous preachers. You're stuck with me today. And we just, you know, but I do want to say that it is radically important in the history of Grace Chapel to just put a little stake in the ground and say, let's remember some things here this morning. Let's remember some things, because it's important to realize the things, the events that contributed to us getting where we're at, so that as we go into the future, we've got a reference point to look back on and say, this works. This works. Let's do this again. Not, you know, just because it worked last time, but because God's saying it works, now let's join God and do it again. I'm not saying to do things just because they've worked before. I'm saying if God says do them, we know they've got a history of working. All right, now that I've thoroughly confused you, it's my job as a preacher. So I start thinking through all these kind of game-changing moments in the life of Grace Chapel this week, and going through my list, and it's super encouraging and all that stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to talk about these things? And I had kind of that moment where I went, wait a second. These things aren't things that just happen in a corporate setting where we all sat back and watched these things happen. These things happened in the community of Grace Chapel because these things were happening in the hearts of the people of Grace Chapel. And so as we talk about these things today, it's imperative that we understand that God didn't do what he did or isn't doing what he's doing with, you know, in spite of the fact that our arms are folded and saying, well, just go ahead and do it, but I'm not going to participate. God has done and is doing and will do what he wants to do when he finds willing people to say, God, I'll join you in that. I'll cooperate in that. I'll give of myself to that. That's how these things happen. So I came up with this little saying. Throw this up there real quick. What works in making a community successful works because it's at work in the lives of the individuals of the community. I mean, like, take that to the bank. These things that have caused Grace Chapel to reach whatever level of success that it has, they don't just happen kind of corporately. They happen because every little person comes and brings their contribution and says yes to what God is doing. And when those things are at work in the life of the individual, they're at life in the work of the community, and then God does great things. So we're here today to celebrate what God has done, what God has done. It's Him. But He does it in us and through us. So then when we look at these lists of things, we can say, hey, these just aren't historical points to reference. These are spiritual realities for us to incorporate into our own life for the first time, or to renew them again and say, I'm going to live like this because living like this produces the kingdom of God working in my life and through my life. Are you with me? So, looking back over the history, those game-changing moments in the life of Grace Chapel, these are applicable to all of us. First of all, it starts before Grace Chapel's first service ever even happened. This starts in California when a few people, four families, go, you know what? We're going to answer God's call to go. We're going to leave our families, we're going to leave our church that's going great, and there's no reason to leave, and we're going to move 2,000 miles to where we don't know anybody. It starts there. And so it is faith, listen to me, it is faith expressed through going. It is us individually being people that understand that God calls us to be goers, to go, to do, to leave, to move, to change. God is in that. God is in that. And so I'm not telling you that you've got to move or something, but I am just saying this. God is a God who tells people, go. And whatever it is that He's telling you to go into, it might not be to go to a different state or a different country. It might just be go into that room or go to that person or get involved in that ministry. But God is about go, and God is about getting us out of our comfort zones. That's what this is about. Listen, God is so serious about this concept of go that go is two-thirds of God's name. Are we communicating? So it starts with a move. It's faith that is expressed in obedience to go out of your comfort zone to where God's calling you, even though it might look sketchy. I would just point out to you, Matthew 28:18-20 is still true. Jesus spoke to His disciples like He's speaking to us today. And He's saying, all authority's been given to Me on heaven and earth. Go therefore. Meaning, I've got all the power, I've got all the authority, and wherever it is that I tell you to go, you can go, because I'll never leave you or forsake you, and I will go with you. And I've got all the power, so you don't need to worry about not having enough. Go, and when you go, I want you to make disciples, and I want you to baptize people, and I want you to teach them to observe everything that I've told you to do. And then again, just remember this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So, being a person and being a people that are about expressing our faith with the obedience to go when God says go is imperative. If we said no to God's go, nothing that Grace Chapel has accomplished would have happened. And so now we look at that through the lens of our own life and just go, man, have I said no to something? Because if I say no to something, what isn't happening that was on God's heart to have it happen? Serious stuff. The second thing, so we moved here, all that stuff happened, you know, and you think, all right, we've moved, we've obeyed, it's going to be smooth sailing, everything's going to go great. Wow, we can't wait to see what God's going to do. Or not. Friends, I got to tell you, just because you're obeying God doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. Anybody else figured that out yet? Yeah, in fact, I'm telling you, when you get serious about obeying God and really launching out into the deep, you're going to find opposition that you may have never, ever, ever experienced before, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that you obey. So I remember was about 9 months. I tried to do the math backwards, and it was about 9 months after we had started. I was sitting in the front row of the cafeteria at Hillsborough School. We had metal folding chairs. And like I sit right there in the front row, I sat in that front row on the summer Sunday morning and got up and turned around to look at the congregation, and there were 9 people there. 9 people. My heart sunk. Like, I wasn't expecting 900, but I wasn't expecting 9. And it was one of those times where you pray a very real prayer in your own heart. Anybody prayed a real prayer like that? Like, God, I have made the biggest mistake of my life. We still had people in California calling us, oh, come back, you know, you can get the church back and we'll start a new church, you know, we want you back, oh, Pastor, we want you. Well, you start looking at those kind of circumstances and thinking you made the biggest mistake of your life and you hear those voices, let me tell you, you pray real prayers, real prayers. So I was in that place of just, oh my gosh, what have I done? God, you're going to have to show me something. You're going to have to speak to me. You're going to have to confirm to me that I did the right thing with my friends, my family. God, that we're on the right track. Bill Winters, I don't even know that Bill was a follower of Jesus yet, but he was definitely in process. Bill Winters, after that service was over, he was one of the 9 people that was there, and he said, hey, would you stop at my house on the way home? I just got something I want to tell you real quick, and I'm not sure, and got nobody else to stop at their house. So I stopped by his house after a depressing service. And he said, hey, this is going to just take me. I just want to tell you. I know this must be hard on you. He said, I just want you to know that I'm glad that you and your family moved here. Friends, when I tell you those few words made me feel like a giant. When I tell you those few words were like the kiss of God himself on my cheek saying, kid, I got you. I got you. There's a trial in the move, but I got you. You didn't make a mistake. You're just in new territory, and I got you. I've never looked back since that day. I never looked back. I never questioned God again. I knew that day we had done the right thing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, not to become sluggish, but to imitate those, listen to friends, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It is through faith and patience in your life, in my life, and in our life that we inherit the promise of God over our lives. It is faith that we don't always like to have because we're trusting in the unseen, and it's patience that we dread, waiting. I've told you before, that's why it's called the meantime. In the meantime. It's not called the nice time. It's called the meantime. Then now you got it. Good. But it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises personally and corporately together. Another huge moment in our life was a playground. We were meeting at Hillsborough School and with a heart for the community and wanting to see God do something awesome and trying to think of just tangible ways to love the community and love the people of the school that we were meeting in, and went to the principal one day and said, hey, is there any way we could be a blessing? And she said, well, you know what, the playground over there that the kindergartners use is dilapidated and it's trashed, it's useless. Would you guys consider maybe putting in a playground? And we said, absolutely. Now, you need to know this about me, that if I think it's a kingdom thing, I will say yes to this day without knowing where the money's going to come from. That's just part of it. So I said yes, and we didn't have any money in the bank. We didn't have nothing. We had 9 people or whatever it was. But I said, yeah, we can do that. We'll figure it out. And friends, we went in there with a group of guys, and $10,000 that came from who knows where, I guess we scraped it together, we bought and built a playground for Hillsboro School for those little kindergarten kids and did playground evangelism. Now, when I tell you, friends, when I tell you that there was a spiritual shift in this community as a result of us tangibly loving and providing for the kids in this region, something changed. Word got out around the community. Look what Grace Chapel did. They did it for free. They built it. They had their guys out there staining and painting. We got pictures of that floating around somewhere. We got credibility with the people of this community. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you that faith, when it is expressed through love for a group of people or through your life for an individual, faith that is expressed through love, that desires to be a blessing to others, you are right in God's wheelhouse when you live that way. When you take your eyes off yourself and say, what can I do for someone else? That's what gets God's attention. In fact, we could say that's what this whole thing's about. Galatians 5:6 says that, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. It doesn't avail anything. But what God's looking for is faith working through love. It's not about outward religious stuff. God wants to know, do we have faith that is operating through a heart of love to touch other people? And when we do that personally and corporately, things change. Number four, another huge moment. Ronnie, where are you at? Stand up for a minute. Just stay right there. Stand up. Yep, thanks. Y'all, this is Ron Klontz. He's been my best friend for 30 years. Now, there was a time when we were in, well, let me tell you something else about Ronnie. When we moved here, stand up. I get to do this. Ronnie was one of the four families that moved here. Many of y'all know that. Ronnie was 25 years working for Los Angeles County. Ron Klontz was the chief information officer of Harbor UCLA Medical Center. 20 years ago, I'll just say this, he had a very, very good paying job. He left it to move 2,000 miles to plant this church. Gave it up. Now, here's the real story I want to tell you. We were meeting in the cafeteria there, and we had been going for, I think, about 4 years, and we had about 150 people. We couldn't fit in the cafeteria anymore. It was time to move into the gym. It was time to move into the gym, and we had 150 people, and man, it was we were moving on up, Wheezy. I mean, we were moving on up. Ronnie said, I know you know this. Ronnie said, we're going to buy two, he's the administrator, we're going to buy 250 chairs. Well, Ronnie, we got 150 people, and we're going to buy 250 chairs. Well, I don't know what happened, but that 250 number in his mind went to 400. Ron Klontz bought 400 blue stacker chairs that you're kind of sitting on right now, but they were blue. Because of faith, operating through an expectancy for God to bring increase. He did that. He did that. He came and told us that. We need to believe. We need to buy more chairs. Okay? It is that kind of attitude, friends, in our own lives, personally and corporately, that makes all the difference. I want to ask you just real quick. Thank you, Ronnie. I want to ask you real quickly, what is it in your own life where you are believing God to bring the increase? What is it? I want to know where you're at 150 and yet you're believing God for 250 and then you go, that's not enough, how about 400? What ministry are you involved in? What thing is that where you're saying, oh God, I am believing you? Because Acts 2:47 says that the Lord added daily to the church. God, you're not just about adding, you're about multiplying as well. So where is it in your life where you're walking through life going, God, I expect you to add. I expect you to bring the increase. And so I'm going to step out in faith. God, here's my 400 chairs that I'm putting out there empty, expecting you to fill it. It's a great example of faith operating through expectancy. And it happened. And God did what he did. It was a huge moment of transition from the cafeteria to the gym. The property came next. We had been going about maybe 7 years at that time. 9/11 had just happened. It wasn't a time where people were spending money or having money. The nation was in turmoil and scared. And yet we had been looking for property. This whole huge farm that Grace Chapel and the two Grace Chapel houses and that other house over there was 60 acres, 60 plus acres. And I went to the owner of it and I said, I saw that you've got it for sale. And I was wondering if you could just cut off 15 acres here for the church. Would you divide the property and could you make this happen? And he said, yeah, we'll cut off 15 acres for you. And I got to tell you that we didn't have any money at that time. But what has money got to do with anything? We didn't have any money, but we knew that we needed 15 acres. The church was growing a little bit and all that kind of stuff. And we had never raised any kind of money. It was going to be $370,000. $370,000. And so I asked around to some pastor friends, and what do you do and how do you do it and all this kind of stuff. And they said, man, you need to call this guy. He's the church fundraiser guy. He's great at this. He'll help you do this. And it just didn't sit right with me from the very beginning. But we called him and he came and gave us his presentation and, you know, told us what to do. And it didn't sit well with us at all. You know, when fundraising involves going through the church parking lot and see who drives the nicest cars and then inviting them to the pastor's house for a special dinner, I'm out on that. I'm out on that. And so anyway, I asked the guy, I said, I need to be candid with you. If we don't hire your services, which is also kind of bizarre to me because I'm going to pay you a bunch of money so that you can teach me how to raise money. That seems like the cash is going the wrong direction to me. But anyway, I said, what happens if we don't hire you? And he said, well, I'm going to speak candidly with you. You're not going to raise all your money and you're going to call me back to bail you out. And so I said, okay, great, thank you. We'll see you later. And went his way. We went to the church in prayer and said, guys, we need $370,000. We don't have any of the money, but we believe God wants us to have this little 15 acres. You see, that 15 acres over there will last Grace Chapel for the rest of its life. 15 acres. There's no way we could ever use all of that 15 acres. And so within 1 month's time, we raised every single penny without guilting or manipulating anybody in any way, shape, or form. We were able to pay cash for this property when 9/11 was happening. And so it was something that we started to learn right away, what's become known as the gulp factor. It's faith expressing itself through sacrificial giving. It's people going above and beyond what they have and above and beyond their ability to give for God's purpose and kingdom to see God do something awesome. And so we bought our little 15 acres of property with every intention of moving over here. And it was lovely. One more step of faith to see what God did. Well, then it came time to build a building here. And this is when things got a little bit more challenging. Because now it wasn't just a few hundred thousand dollars, now it was going to be a few million dollars. And you know, when you still kind of don't have anything and the little bit that you did have, you just raised from people who gave to purchase property, you got to figure out where to get some cash. And I can't get into all of it, but I can tell you that we found a banker who came from who knows where and somehow made it work. With the down payment, including the dirt that we bought and then the sound equipment that was going to be donated, and it was a miracle. It took a few men personally signing their own lives to guarantee a loan, and we got the loan, and so it was a few million dollars, and so we had this first building here. Now, friends, I got to tell you something. About a month or two ago, I started thinking, because I start to wonder, you know, are we getting comfortable? Because I don't want to get comfortable. I don't want to put it on cruise control. I don't want to live a life going, look at what's happened, and now let's just, you know, put it on autopilot and then watch the people disappear over the years and then wonder what happened. And I just don't want to do that. I don't want to get comfortable. I want to keep pressing. I want to keep growing. I want to keep reaching. And so I thought, what's this issue with debt here? I said, hey, when we moved into this building, this first building, I hope you're not bored. This is really helpful if you listen to this. When we moved into this building, you know, we had a few hundred people, and I know what the offerings were, I think about $10,000 a week, and we went into nearly $3 million worth of debt, and I kind of forecasted it out from where we are today. So I want you to get some perspective, those of you who are kind of new to the Grace Chapel family. The families that planted this church believed and took on a level of debt that would be the equivalent of me coming to you now today and saying, Grace Chapel, I think I've heard from God. The elders are behind me. We need to go $25 million into debt. When you talk about what the pioneering families of Grace Chapel did to make this place happen, to give their time, their talent, and their treasure. Friends, it was on an insane level. I would guess if I got up here today and said, hey, there's something we've got to do, it's going to cost us $25 million, that I might not see everybody next week. But not only did those people stay, those people gave and served and gave birth to everything that's going on here today. Dave and Sandy Krikak, would you stand up for a second? Please. So just like Ron Klontz, the scripture says to give honor to whom honor's due, and Dave and Sandy Krikak were one of the first four families that moved with us here from California. They've been here from day one. Our kids have grown up together. I've watched their son and their daughter grow up. I've had the privilege of marrying their son and then watching them have babies. But Dave and Sandy, setting up, tearing down, wiping bottoms, cleaning kids, everything up. For 20 years, leading the way and still going strong. So we got to tell you that we love you and we honor you and we bless you and thank you for everything, everything, everything. Ray and Ann Helmsworth aren't here. They went back to California about a year and a half ago or so, but we'll be seeing them this week. I look forward to that. Again, to bless and honor Ray and Ann for nearly 20 years of sacrificial giving and believing and serving like crazy. So faith being expressed through an all-in commitment for this building and for what our future would be, that's exactly what it was like, an all-in commitment. That works in your life personally. In fact, I would say it's the only thing that really works. When you make an all-in commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can expect to see him make an all-in commitment to you, that he will do things in you and through you that'll blow your mind. The next significant thing that happened was after we were in this church, somehow we got official and people really started coming. We had our own building and it was time to expand this place. And so everything over there on that wing was time to, again, raise cash. Or we had the opportunity to get 100% of the money needed from the bank, because the bank really liked us. And they liked our books, and they saw how clean and tight we ran things, and they were all in. And they said, hey, we'll loan you 100% of the money for the new build out there. This was right before everything fell apart in 2007, 2008. We'll give you 100% of the money, and here's how you can do this. And I know you want to build this whole thing over there, but you know, you can bite it off in pieces just a little bit at a time. And gosh, we started thinking, man, that sounds so easy, and you know, it's so effortless, and it's not going to take any faith. And we've never not done anything that took no faith. Because if it doesn't take any faith, I don't think God's in it. And so we did something insane, and we turned the money down from the bank to give it to us 100%. And I stood with the support of the elders and the leaders of the church. I stood right here and said, friends, I think that God's given us a plan. And with fear and trembling, I think we can raise $2 million in one offering. Not over 3 years, not pledge cards, not you leaving halfway through your pledges committed, none of that, in one offering. We taught on giving for a week from the scriptures. No hype, no manipulation. We didn't care what kind of drive car you drove. We wanted your money regardless of what you drove. We set an old barn box, just a wooden box up here, and people came, and the aisles were filled all the way out the door, and families came and kneeled down and cried and sacrificed and gave. We told everybody, you come back after service is over. We're going to count it. We're going to tell you how much we raised, and let's see what God does. And so everybody came back. The place was electric. We were waiting, and someone's great idea, I don't know who it was, but they started with one digit at a time, remember? One digit at a time, and it was like, you got to be kidding me. Just flash the number up there. One digit at a time, and as it made its way over, then it got into the 50-some thousand dollars, and then the next number that came up was an 8, and I about flipped out. Oh my gosh, in one offering, we've got $850,000. That's like almost half our goal. Can you believe it? That's incredible. Yes to the expansion. Yes to more people. Yes to more kids' rooms. Yes to all that. And it wasn't over, because then there was another decimal point and the number 2 came up. And it means that $2.8 million came in one single offering. There's videotape of that somewhere with me jumping up and down, going crazy and screaming. And it was unreal. It was unreal. And the addition happened, and we realized again that faith that's expressed through a faithful history. You see, we were able to look back at the property. We were able to look back at this building. And then when it came time to do this, we had history. We were able to say, God, you've done it before. You can do it again. We're on your team. We're doing what you're asking us to do. We're risking and believing and doing all that stuff. God, you can do it again. You see, friends, that's why it's important for you to take your first step of faith, because your second step is going to be determined on whether you take your first step. Because it's your second step that causes you to turn around and go, God, you're able. God, you're able. You can do this. And then the steps continue to go on, and may they never stop. And so then it was time for the second expansion a couple years later, and it was faith being expressed through a hopeful future, realizing that we haven't arrived and that we're not going to be on cruise control. We're not just going to stop, friends, because look at what God's done out in the middle of nowhere. Can I tell you? I'm telling you now transparently as a leader, there is massive temptation, not temptation in my own heart like I'm thinking about doing this, but there is outward pressure and temptation to say, Steve, just relax. It's been 20 years. Look what's happened. You can put it on cruise control, ride this out till you're 60, and just relax a little bit. Friends, I'm telling you right now, if you give into that voice personally, if I give into that voice personally, if we give into that voice corporately, we're already half dead. If we're already ready to rest on yesteryear's laurels, we've missed the point. We've missed it here. And so I want to rejoice in what God's done in the past, but I'm looking to the future. I'm looking to what God wants to do more. I want to see what opportunities, what challenges, what God is going to present to Grace Chapel that will once again buckle our knees and say, oh God, really? You see, there's a part of that I don't like that. But there's a part of that I crave. There's a part of that says it's only in the adventure that real life and real joy exists. Paul says, I want to run my race. I want to finish my course. I want to grab hold of that thing for which Jesus grabbed a hold of me. I want to finish my race with joy. part of finishing with joy is living in the adventure. Don't retire, refire. So the second expansion happens, and there we go. There it is. We doubled our building space, made more room for more people. And part of that expansion was the school. I'm about done. Hold on. Was the school. It's faith expressed through a responsibility to the next generation. When we were first talking about, okay, here's what we're going to do, make more room. We'll build a 2,000-seat sanctuary out in the front yard, and that'll give us room and more people, and the sanctuary is the part that's always, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'll do it out there. But it never felt right. And we never did it. Because we realized, rather than going that way with something that costs multiple millions of dollars that will sit empty during the week, how about we go that way and build an equipping center that's used every single day with school children in our building every single day, and a gymnasium that can be used on Sundays for a chapel? How about we do something that isn't the norm but is right? Oh, and by the way, church, we're believing for $5 million in one offering to make this happen. It was the only time, to my knowledge, the only time in our church's history where we didn't meet our goal. But you know what? Raising $3.8 million in one offering isn't too shabby, is it? The school. Friends, do you realize that Grace Christian Academy, every single day, Monday through Friday, there are 400 children here every single day that are being discipled in the word and the ways and the will of God. Every single day, Monday through Friday, 400 of the next generation. 400 of the next generation. We got certified, verified, whatever fied that's called, as quick as any school could. It takes 3 years. We got it in 3 years. They came to us, the team that spends days here, it came to me and said, we've done these over 1,000 times. We want you to know what we see happening here between Grace Chapel and Grace Christian Academy is at the absolute top of the list. We're going to have our first graduating class next year. My friend Reggie Garner, my friend Robbie Mason, Tim Fish, my friend Mark Bright, Ron Klontz, whose vision it was to have a school before any of us even thought of it. That's being lived out every single day, friends. 400 kids growing every single year, graduating our first class next year. So we look at all of these things. We go, God, you've been so good to us, and gosh, you've blessed us and caused us to expand like crazy. Thank you. Thank you for yesterday. But here we are today, and here's where we're going tomorrow. Friends, I'm not putting it on cruise control. And if you're looking to come to a place where it's cruise control, God bless you on your way out. Not doing that. There's a world in need. There's a kingdom that needs to be expanded, and we're looking to find people who are serious about growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, who aren't ashamed of the gospel, who want to see God do something awesome. I'm telling you, what I'm praying is for bigger opportunities with bigger challenges for the people of Grace Chapel. And what I'm going to do, and I hope we do, should those opportunities present themselves, is look back over our history and say, God, do it one more time. God, do it one more time. Apart from my wife and my family, this has been the greatest privilege of my life to pastor this church and to walk with you folks. Hadn't always been easy. A little sketchy about 5 years ago. But we're still here! We're still here! Thank you, God. Let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, our clap is for you. We honor you, God. We bless you. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do in the future. God, we say you are faithful, not just because we hope you are, but we have seen that you are. And we look forward to that because we know that your faithfulness is not only great, but it endures forever and ever and ever and ever. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, for whatever our future holds, we commit ourselves into your hands and say, God, we want to fully cooperate with you. God, bring us an opportunity, again, that would buckle our knees. And that would bring you maximum glory in the earth. Make a way where there is no way. Level every mountain. Raise every valley. And straighten every crooked road so that this next opportunity would indeed happen. Lord, you know what it is. You know how it's got to happen. You know the hearts of the people involved. And I'm grateful that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Lord, you move. You move. You move on the hearts that need it to be moved upon. We believe you for it, and we love you, and we celebrate you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Move in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give Jesus a shout this morning? Let's go out with a shout. Let's go out with a shout. Let's go out with a shout. Good one. Good one. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. I just have to say, I know that Steve personifies all these folks. This applies to... But Grace Chapel is a blessing to me personally, to you all individually. It's a blessing for our church corporately. It's a blessing to the community, a blessing to the state. It's a blessing to the nation. And now we reach around the world. Grace Chapel is a blessing. And it's a blessing because the Lord is able to work through Grace Chapel. And the reason the Lord is able to work through Grace Chapel is because Steve Berger said yes. Yeah. And not lost.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. And thank you to everybody else who said yes and continues to say yes. Go in the grace and peace of Jesus. Go celebrate Jesus today. God bless you all. We'll see you soon.